Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
And the host of Talk the Talk podcast, Daniel Midgley, is with us this morning. Hello, Daniel.
Good morning.
Now, the Apostrophe Society is no more.
I didn't do it. That's the
you
message.
You closed them down
there.
Because you always go on about things evolving and you've let the apostrophe evolve into nothing.
We just finished hashtag no apostrophe November, a fun little exercise where I encouraged people to try doing without this little, in my view, unnecessary mark for a month, see what happens. It was fun. I tried it. You know, it was a little bit difficult because old habits die hard. But now I get messages from a lot of people saying, the Apostrophe Protection Society has just disbanded. Did you do this? And I'm here to say, no, it was not me. It was John Richards, a 96-year-old gentleman, former copy editor. I got a lot of respect for copy editors.
Of course.
They're my people.
Yeah.
I just like them. On Twitter, I have a lot of copy editors in my feed. I'll just read this. This is from the ABC. John Richards is closing down the Apostrophe Protection Society. He says, with regret, I have to announce that after some 18 years, I have decided to close the Apostrophe Protection Society. There are two reasons for this. One is that at 96, I am cutting back on my commitments.
Fair enough. That's the real reason.
Good on him. I hope that when I'm 96, I'm going like a maniac like this guy. And the second is that fewer organizations... Now, listen to this, because this is a little... There's a sting here. The second is that fewer organizations and individuals are now caring about the correct use of the apostrophe in the English language. We and our many supporters worldwide have done our best, but the ignorance and laziness present in modern times have won. Lashings of criticism.
It's your fault. Yeah.
You know,
take some of the blame.
Okay, but you know what? I'm glad that he's not dropping his commitment to being a jerk about language. That's something.
That's true. Giving up the fight, saying we lost the war, basically.
Well, look, it's important to be a good communicator, okay? And that is definitely something I'm all about as a linguist. But sometimes part of being a good communicator is paying attention to those little conventions like where to put apostrophes. But for a lot of people... This goes beyond just simple clarity of writing. They're using apostrophes as a proxy for social class. They're building social walls, and they're trying to find out who the good people are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're good if you use a punctuation or apostrophes.
Well. No.
I think that being a good person is about something else. And ignorance is something else. Laziness is something else. I think that what his comment tells me is that this was never about protecting apostrophes. This was always about protecting this one guy's massive sense of superiority.
Ooh.
As it relates to apostrophes situation.
Okay. 1-300-222-720 is the number. If you have a question for Daniel Midgley, you can text them through as well on 0437-922-720. Should we get to some questions?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. And Susan, thanks. She's texted in a photo of her card carrying apostrophe club t-shirt. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
It's a t-shirt. Apostrophe. It says apostrophe police.
You know what?
It's cool. A matter of principle without an apostrophe.
It's cool to care about things. You know, sometimes we act like we're all cool because we don't care. Caring about apostrophes is great. My hat's off to you. I care about other things, but that's me.
Susan, if you've got a spare t-shirt, send it in, please. Okay. Jenny wants to know, where and how did the term undertaker originate?
Oh, fascinating. You know, I always thought that this was because it's the guy that takes you under, under the ground.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Oh.
That's not what it is. Turns out that this is one of those, you know how doctor used to be like all kinds of things, but then the meaning shrank to just one kind of doctor? Because it used to be like if you were a doctor of law or something like that, then that was doctor. But now when we say doctor, it's just like one thing. Well, undertaker used to be a lot of different things. It was anybody who took on any sort of task. But eventually what happened was that the sense of someone who undertakes a funeral, someone who does an undertaking, that became like the main meaning.
Uh-huh.
So it has nothing to do with taking you underground. Sorry, even though that's very poetic.
Oh,
so you undertake the act of being responsible for the funeral.
It's a task that you undertake.
That is terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit boring.
This from last week.
Well, this is what I say about etymology, right? If it's an interesting story, it's probably wrong.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The true stories are always a little bit boring, sorry.
It's a bit of a shame.
Well, except for this next one.
Last week you got, what about disgruntled?
That's the interesting one. Oh my gosh, sometimes you get a thing where you didn't know that language did this. So what did they say?
They said, is one gruntled at any stage? And if one becomes disgruntled, do they need to be re-gruntled?
Okay. What this question shows is that there's a limitation to our morphology. The things don't always mean what we think. So you'd think that, because what does dis mean? If you have dis at the beginning of a word, it means?
The opposite.
It's the opposite.
Opposite.
Okay. Not this time. So let's start at the beginning. If you grunt, you make a noise like that and it makes you're kind of not happy. But there's an extra thing that I didn't even know English had. It's that, what's that tull ending doing? You know, you got grunt, tull. The ol means you do it over and over again. English, old English used to have this thing that meant, well, it's called a frequentative, do it over and over again. So if you're gruntling, it means you're not just grunting once, you're going.
You're gruntling over and over.
Would you quit gruntling? Okay, but now comes the dis, which you would think would mean opposite. It doesn't. It just means do it a lot, as an intensifier. How about that?
So not
If you're disgruntled, it doesn't mean that you became ungruntled in some way. It means that you're just gruntling a whole bunch. Isn't that weird?
Fantastic.
So weird.
That honestly is fantastic.
So weird.
We do that sometimes with other words. For example, reed fried beans.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that somebody fried them and then they fried them again?
That's what I thought, that they were fried twice.
Well, it's not. The great thing is this is another one of those you think it would mean what you think it would mean, but it's actually an intensifier. It just means they're really, really, really fried.
Well, that doesn't matter. They're just fried, whether they're fried or really fried.
I know.
Refried means they've been fried twice. They've been fried again.
Level, well, next level fried.
That's not what real would
mean. They're refried.
For example, your refrigerator. Does it freeze things twice? What's the redoing?
No, the freezer freezes. The refrigerator keeps things cold. Okay, difference.
Okay, I'm going to take a step back. Does your refrigerator refrigerate things twice? Does it make things frigid again?
No, just fridges once.
It's just fridges. So what's the redoing? The re is an intensifier.
Okay.
It makes things super cold, which I guess is what the freezer does, but okay, I'm getting confused.
Are you it's going to be re-hot today.
No.
Are you saying refrigerator comes from frigid?
But yes, they both come from the same word.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Makes things frigid.
So today it's going to be re-hot.
It's going to be disfrigid.
Let's go to Eric. He can save us. Hi, Eric.
Greetings to you.
Hello, Eric.
Do you know the longest word in our language?
Oh, this one comes up quite...
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I think that's a made-up one.
I think it is. And you know what? The other one that's made up is Numino Ultramicroscopic Silica Vulcanoniosis, which somebody made up in a fit of fancifulness. What's your answer?
Honorific abilitudinity.
That is a good one. You know what? I think I know one that's even longer. It is the chemical name for a substance which is known more prosaically as titanium, or something like that. It takes 10 hours to read it, and the reason I know this is that there is a YouTube video of somebody actually reading it page for page, this incredibly long chemical element. I'll see if I can track down that name by the end of the show.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
We're going to try and find it if we can,
unless
it literally takes an hour.
What's the name of the chemical?
I am looking for that.
It's like titanium.
It's not titanium, but it's titan. It's titan, T-I-T-I-N.
Okay, watch. We'll look, see. Meggie and Hillary are onto it. James, in the meantime, what's your question?
Not a question, just a statement. I've got a little rescued lorikeet with a broken wing, and she's called Strawberry. And if we put in the fridge a box with strawberries in it, we put strawberries, which is totally meaningless without an apostrophe.
That is a really good example. And another good example that somebody gave, and I forget who it was, sorry, it was those things in the corner are my husband's apostrophe S, which means it's your husband's stuff. But if you take out the apostrophe, those things in the corner are my husband's. there's a few of them in the corner.
Hello.
What are they doing? Which is a great example.
Here's one from, there's no name on this texter, but where do we get, can the language guy tell us where we get chuffed as an expression from? The origins of chuffed. I'm so chuffed that you join us every Thursday morning.
Okay, Daniel? Now my first guess here is that chuff, you know, a lot of things are imitative, like it sounds like somebody who's happy, you know, and because when you're happy, you make kind of a fluffy noise. I don't want to describe this. And so you're feeling
not that.
It's like a grunt.
I'm gruntling again. kind of gruntled. That was my first guess, and but then it goes back to an obsolete word in British dialect, chuff, which means swollen with fat. Swollen with fat. And that's a really super old word from the 1500s, but then gradually it took on the meaning of someone who's very pleased.
I'm full.
Basically. I guess if you're full, then you're
happy. Yeah.
So I've eaten such a big meal. I'm so chuffed.
Where is the bay, by the way? We asked that question. Mm. Jill says, we call it the bay. I'm in Safety Bay. I love that. Mm. Somebody else said Shark Bay is the bay. So, I mean, it's possible to have more than one bay.
Daniel was very quick to say, I'd rather be in Safety Bay than Shark Bay.
Don't go to Shark Bay. What are you doing? just go to Safety Bay. It's a lot nicer. It's fine.
We mourn the loss of language in the millennials. Again, last night, I sat next to a couple of girls who used the word like about four times in every sentence to substitute any other decent word.
Oh, ouch.
Like needs banishing forever, says Sue.
Oh, dear. See, okay, it's easy to criticize, but what's more interesting and what's more fun is to find out why things are happening. And what I've found is that like has a lot of really important things that it does. It can be a focal marker. It brings your attention to a certain part of the sentence. It can be a quotative. I was like, no way. Or I was like, oh, no, not this again. So the cool thing about like in that sense is that it can say not only what you're saying, but what you're thinking. I think that trying to get rid of like is unnecessary. And there's a dark side. It shows a kind of prejudice against people who use it. And I think Sue's text is a really good example of how it's not really about like. It's about the young women who use like. And I think maybe Sue should take a step back and ask herself why she's got this apparent contempt for young women and why she's decided to dress it up in linguistic garb. Yep.
You're in a mood. It's a minute away from seven. The longest word that you've ever heard.
Lucy, Sirdi, Lali, Judy, Prona, Lali, Pronesli, Lucy, Aglisi, Theri, Iblisi.
This makes no sense.
Well, it is a chemical compound. He's reading page after page after page of this. So that is Titan. And you can watch the video yourself. Just
there we are.
Smile. Smiles is the longest word, says this listener, because there's a mile between the first and the last S.
That sounds like a great place to stop.
Daniel Midgley will be back with us next Thursday. Have a great day. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talk the Talk is the name of his podcast. Speakeasy is the segment where he joins us every Thursday.